We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Good morning. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. There's a couple of things that this year's version of the Milwaukee Bucks are known for right now. One is that they have one of the best records in the league, the second best record, a couple games behind the Raptors, one game to be exact. The Bucks 31-12. That's pretty good. That's better than everybody except for Toronto. Another thing they're becoming known for is that when they lose that following game, they do not lose. They are 12-0 coming off a loss. And then there's the revenge factor with this Milwaukee Bucks team. When they do lose to teams and they see them again, they are now 4-0 against those teams and have beaten them by an average of 26.7 points. They lost to Boston, saw them again, beat them by 13. They lost to Portland, saw them again, beat them by 43. Lost to New York, saw them again, Christmas Day, beat them by 14. And then they have lost to Miami this season, and last night they beat them by 38 points. The Bucks rolling here in a couple of different situations. But if you lose to the Bucks, they don't forget that, and they'll take it out on you the next day.
I feel like every time I turn the Bucks game on, let's say if I'm late getting to the game, or I turn the game on late and I'm doing other things, and let's say I don't get the game at halftime, the Bucks usually are up by like 28 points. I mean, it's amazing. It's never a close game, especially, I mean, at home at least. I'll be doing some other things, like last night, I did not catch the first half. And turn the game on, boom, they're up by 24 points at halftime. I'm like, well, this one's probably over. It's just amazing how at home this year, they're you know, not only winning games, but how they just crush every one of these teams, including Miami as part of their revenge tour.
I saw a tweet last night, a guy named Justin Dura, tweeting, I remember when the Bucks would win a game, it would be a big deal. And now it's getting to the point when the Bucks win by 38, it's like, well, it's just a regular season.
Yeah.
Playoffs, I wish, started tomorrow. I mean, it's become the Milwaukee Bucks with their tainted history of the last 30 years are consistently beating teams by 30, 40 points. And we are getting to the point now where it's like, okay, what's next? No big deal. When's the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah, well, but you know what? We shouldn't take this for granted, though, because of the bad 30 years. But, yeah, these games are never in doubt, usually. Even if they do get down in the second half, somehow if they're down at halftime or you know, it's a close game, they find a way to pull it out and pull away and still win the game. Like last week, they had a game at the Fiserv Forum. They were down the first half. They were down by 9. They were down by 10 points. And they ended up winning the game by 12. It's just, no matter what, they find a way to win the game by double digits and usually by over 20 points.
Was that against Utah?
Yeah, it was Utah last week. They were down, you know, the first half. They weren't playing great, but they turned it on. And, you know, I mean, it's hard to win by double digits all the time and doing what they're doing in the NBA. But they consistently do it at home. But, I, you know, the main thing last night is I wanted to just see the guys get the rest in the fourth quarter. I didn't even want to see Giannis start the fourth quarter because they got a game in Memphis tonight. Get that guy some rest. And when you get these blowout games, you just put it in the bank and you'll be able to get some of the guys some you know, rest. Because when you're looking down towards playoffs in March and April, you know, games like this are important to give these guys some rest so it's not a possession game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the Friday night game against Atlanta where they were able to rest everybody in the fourth before they took on Toronto the next night. Now, they did lose, of course, to Toronto the third time around on the fifth, but it kind of reminded me of that situation. You've got another game tonight, Bucks at Memphis, 7 o'clock tip, which means like 7:10.
But Fox Sports Wisconsin have the coverage for you. We'll have the postgame show tonight. I believe Ryan Horvath is in tonight on that postgame coverage. I was doing some reading about some national NBA stuff and some midseason awards. And while the Giannis thing is still, oh, it's Giannis, or Harden's going to shoot his way into it, or now the Warriors had a big night, so they're back in the conversation with Steph Curry, big night last night. One thing that's pretty unanimous when you look at these award sections is Mike Budenholzer is Coach of the Year, and I've seen multiple people outside of this station say that that was the biggest, maybe outside of LeBron, the biggest acquisition period in terms of the NBA in the offseason last year, because what Mike Budenholzer has done is pretty much take a team that is, for the most part, similar to last year and made them one of the top two teams in all of the NBA. Mike Budenholzer last night, they talked about this a lot on the broadcast, especially towards the end, too. The Bucks in the second half went down 9-4. He'd go on a little bit of a 9-4 run. Budenholzer calls a timeout and, like, doesn't even say anything, just kind of storms away. He calls a timeout, gathers everyone over, and just kind of storms away. And his style, whatever it is, I mean, it is working with this team. Mike Budenholzer is a large reason for this success.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we thought Craig Counsell was manager of the year in baseball, and that one got stolen away from him, too. But with Mike Budenholzer with the Bucks, yeah, I mean, really, he is the coach of the year. The turnaround, to put himself, that team, in his first year, and make this team one of the best teams in the NBA. And, you know, he's done it for a half a season so far, got a long way to go. They've improved in many areas. And so I just, I mean, if the way it's going right now, he's got to win Coach of the Year. Yeah. Coach of the Year, the MVP is here. Whatever postseason awards, man, the Bucks have put themselves in this position. I mean, they're 31-12. Who would have guessed that? 31-12 so far. Just keep rolling. They've won 8 of their last 10. And, you know, they got a game against Memphis tonight. And, you know, Memphis is only a handful of games below the 500 mark. But this is, you know, won't be easy going out on Memphis, especially on back-to-back nights, to win this game tonight. But they, you know, they've, I mean, they've had such a solid year so far. And they're fun to watch, man. This is exactly what they wanted moving into a new arena.
Chuck, the Bucks could have a losing record the rest of the way at 19-20 and still finish with 50 wins.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, this team is rolling.
Yeah.
7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a little more about what it is that you want to talk about with this Bucks team, because, you know, there are so many nights like this that what are we really – we've got 3 more months of this. They're ready for the playoffs. You work a few things out, you know, you battle with a few other teams. But the Bucks are in the playoffs, and we just got to figure out who they're going to play. That's really what these next 3 months are going to come down to, and making sure that they are as ready as they can be when that first-round series hits. Because if all this means nothing if they don't win that first-round series. And you guys can chime in at 799-1250. But what I think is interesting is this could be a case opposite of the Brewers, where they had the MVP in Yelich and should have had the Manager of the Year in Council. This year, the Bucks could have, I mean, it sounds like Budenholzer is like the lock for Coach of the Year. And I think they should have the MVP in Giannis. And like I said, I think James Harden is just trying to outshoot his way to get that award. And that might, if he doesn't get the MVP, man, I'm going to be bummed.
Yeah.
I'm going to be bummed if Giannis does not get it. Outside of the bet we made, I'll just be bummed in general.
Yeah, but most importantly, all right, I mean, if it came down to going to the finals, the conference finals or the NBA finals, or Giannis winning the MVP, I mean, take the MVP out of the equation. I'll take, you know, if he like last night, all right, he had a triple-double, had, what, 12 points. Okay, someone who is going to look at that game and say, oh, geez, Giannis only had 12 points last night. Well, they had a blowout win, all right? Yeah, it might cut into his scoring average a little bit, but, you know, he did so many other things on the court if you didn't happen to catch the game. So, but yeah, the MVP and the Coach of the Year, to me, that's all secondary. When I see Giannis play, I don't look at him. He's got to have a big night here to keep in the MVP race. Or I don't watch what Harden is doing. I care mostly about just them getting a top 2 or 3 or 4 seed and going to the playoffs. Because if Giannis wins MVP and they bust out in the first round of the playoffs, it doesn't matter. I mean, the MVP to me is just like the cherry on the top for the Bucks. I care more about how the team is going to do this year.
Oh, I agree with that for sure. But I do care about the MVP quite a bit because it's deserving of Giannis.
Sure.
And I think what's happening is the narrative thing. People are bored of talking about Giannis already. They want to make it. I'm reading Twitter last night. Highly respected NBA guys, like the guys that everyone rushes to see what they think about a certain game, are arguing between Curry and Harden for MVP. Because Giannis, it's an afterthought. He's too good. Yeah, let's make this exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about MVP races that bother me, or any of these races.
Well,
just give it to the guy that you should give it to. Don't try to manufacture drama here.
I was thinking that I saw a little Dan Le Batard the other day, and was thinking he was talking about the MVP race, and was thinking that because he was talking about an unheralded guy a guy who's just come onto the scene about an MVP, and I thought he was talking about Giannis, and then it turns out because he's talking about a foreign player, he's talking about Jokic in Denver. And I'm like, come on! I mean, Jokic, terrific player, a unique player, but don't even mention that guy in the conversation in the same breath as Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo, or Curry for that matter.
Jokic is in the conversation, but
down the ladder,
not too far down.
Yeah, but
the next tier. But
well, that's what I'm saying. You have the top
Giannis
two guys.
It's Giannis and Harden.
Yeah,
and then if you want to throw in Curry, throw him in.
Yep,
and then you're looking at Jokic.
But Jokic is not worth serious consideration unless Harden and Giannis go into a slump. It's a two-horse race between those two guys.
Well, and to the world, it's a two-horse race, too. It's just between Curry and Harden right now.
But he was
now
trying to make a case for Jokic and, like, not over Giannis, my friend.
I mean, you can make a case for him, but you're right.
Not over Giannis and not over
Harden, I wouldn't say so. 799-1250, talking a little Bucks with you. Another big win for this team that does not lose after games they've lost and does not lose to teams that have beat them before. The Bucks are rolling here, the number two seed right now in the Eastern Conference. We'll talk more about that coming up, including an interesting article about Mark Lazary that was posted on The Athletic. Gave some details and some secrets, which, frankly, I refute. I don't believe that he's right regarding a specific trade that did not go down years ago for the Bucks. So we'll talk about that coming up here in a moment. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. That tweet is out, by the way, for Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. One of three different meals will be available at Perkins at a discounted rate. It could be the option A with the pancakes, the bacon, the hash browns, the eggs. Could be option B where we go with a sausage biscuit meal, or option C with the fried chicken filet. I take you boys out every time we have the Bart's Big Breakfast. Chuck, do you got a favorite there? You could go with what it was last time, the eggs, the sausage, the bacon, the pancakes.
You know, I'm just like I like the bacon, the eggs, the potatoes with it. I take that with the pancakes.
Well, you get that with every meal. You get the eggs, bacon, and potatoes or hash browns
yes.
with every meal.
Yes.
So then you're picking between pancakes, sausage biscuits, or fried chicken filet.
No, definitely the pancakes.
You go with the pancakes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Pancakes without any syrup, just the butter.
Okay, that'll
just the
work.
Butter. Yeah.
So the poll has been put up. We've been talking about it for a little bit. My breakfast special is coming back to Perkins. It will be available starting Monday, but you have until Saturday about 10 a.m. We'll keep the voting open until then. You can vote at 105.7 FM The Fan. Go to our page. It'll be the first one right up there on Twitter. So voting is open, and you have until Saturday at 10 a.m. to select that. Bucks win last night. Good victory over the Heat, 124-86. They're now 4-0 against teams that they've beaten. And they don't just squeak by these teams, Chuck. It's convincing wins. I mean, the Heat is a team that beat them earlier this season. And we say schedule loss. And we say that because they spent the night in Boston, played a game there, had to then fly to Miami, get into town about 4 a.m., and then Miami on fresh legs gets a team on some tired legs. And it was a close game, but Miami, you know, ran away with it a little late there. So when the Bucks play them again, I think the Bucks remember that, and they beat them by 38 last night. This happened against New York. Knicks beat the Bucks. Bucks see them again. 14-point win. This happened against the Celtics. Celtics beat the Bucks. It was that Celtics game we just referenced. Bucks beat them by 13. The Portland game was a big one. I believe that was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving when they beat them 143-100 after losing to them a few games prior. So this team, if you beat them, they will remember that. And that, I think, is a trait that serves well going forward when we do look into the playoffs.
And what I like is some of these coaches like Eric Spoelstra, who've come to Milwaukee year after year after year and have had the Bucks number and have taken the Bucks down, are now leaving here with like a 25-point loss. Like last night, Spo was saying how, you know, he was crediting the Bucks, but said his team just quit. Said they got down by 20 points at one point, second, third quarter, and he says, we just threw in the towel. Our guys quit. He said, no disrespect to Milwaukee. But the Bucks are doing that to teams. But that's, I mean, the Bucks are going and just, you know, they're hitting these threes. And when you got, you know, when you got a 7-foot center like Lopez going out there and hitting 35 footers, that's deflating to another team. You know, I don't know how consistently he can do that, you know, keep on doing that. But yeah, the Bucks are making things tough on teams and they're deflating some of these teams like they did in Miami last night.
Giannis, 12 points, 10 boards, 10 assists. So that was his fourth triple-double of the season, his 13th for his career. Malcolm Brogdon had 16. Eric Bledsoe led the way with 17. But most importantly, when you look at these box scores from last night, nobody of the starters played over 26 minutes, and that was Chris Middleton. You got a lot of good bench time. DJ Wilson had a really nice night, I thought. DJ Wilson was interviewed at halftime, and he couldn't speak. He was out of breath.
Oh.
Katie George is trying to interview him, and he's like, we got to get to the – and she's like, you all right? And he, yeah, I'm out of breath, man. I'm out of breath. Because he's, you know, busting his ass on the defensive end all night too.
Yeah, they shouldn't be interviewing those players at halftime. There's no need to interview a player at halftime. Players are – because they're focusing in on the game. You know, I mean, if you want to pull a coach aside, okay. You know, those end of the third quarter interviews you see on ESPN or TNT, it's like, you know, they don't tell you anything anyway. The best part about it is when Pop used to, you know, blow off Sager in that little game that they used to do. But, I mean, a player coming to the court, what was he really going to tell you? He's just coming off, he's heading to the locker room, and then he gets pulled over for an interview. So, no, I'm just not a big fan. But I get it. This is where the NBA, this is where sports are coming to, where you're interviewing these players right during the game.
But it's not, you know, during game time. I do like in, like, the All-Star games when they'll talk to the players during the game.
Yeah, well, that's different.
I always think that's cool.
I mean, All-Star game, that's one thing. But I know the coaches absolutely hate it, the fact that, I mean, a guy like Budenholzer probably just disgusted that one of his players has got a bit, because he wants his guys back in the locker room. He doesn't want them talking to the media to begin with.
There was an article put out yesterday from The Athletic. I always butcher this guy's last name. Frank Isola?
Oh, yeah, he used to be with the New York Times, I want to say, New York Daily News. NBA writer out there, and then, of course, the newspaper industry cost him his job.
Yeah, they cut a bunch of people, which it sounds like is happening with the Journal Sentinel, too, right now. And apparently there's a takeover for Gannett where even more people could lose their jobs.
Another round of buyouts coming up for them?
There's another round of buyouts happening right now.
I did not see that. I know that I saw the Gannett thing.
I think the sports editor is stepping down.
Yeah, Mike Davis, who's been there for 30 years.
There's another guy whose work I'm unfamiliar with, but he's been there for like 30 years.
A sports guy?
No. Just a general guy.
Okay.
So some of these older guys are getting bought out, and the newspaper business is struggling. But The Athletic is thriving, and that's where Frank Isola, I was right?
Frank Isola, yeah. Isola.
He did an interview where he got on Mark Lazary's plane in New York, flew to a game, and then flew back. Because Mark Lazary, one of the owners of this team, lives in New York. And then so he just flies in and flies back. Now, son Alex is all over Milwaukee.
Sure.
You see him all the time. He lives here.
I've heard it where those guys have flown in for a game, went to the game, flown back to New York, slept in their own beds,
yeah,
and were back at the office the next morning.
That's what he does.
Imagine being able to do that.
Well, it's cool. What he does is he brings a bunch of different people each and every time. He tries to give people that experience, whether it's his family or people that work in the business. He had one catered event, the article says, where the chef was Greek. and the chef was talking about how much his son loves Giannis. So Mark Lazary's like, well, let me take him to a game. And then he took them to a game in Milwaukee. They got on his jet, flew to Milwaukee, went to the game, and went back. So Lazary's doing some really cool stuff regarding that. But on this plane ride, one of the things that Frank talked to him about was how the Warriors owner thinks that the Warriors are light years ahead of every team. It's 29 teams and then the Warriors. And this is what Lazary said. I don't know if they can be light years ahead if they traded Steph Curry to the Bucks for Andrew Bogut. That was the deal. But the Bucks medical staff didn't think Steph's ankle would hold up. That killed the deal. So I don't know if they're light years ahead. It's luck. And that's fine. I think we did get rid of the medical staff when we bought the team. I thought that was shot down years ago. Are we sure he's not just saying that to make the Bucks look better?
When you say shot down, mean that never happened?
The speculation that Curry was going to get traded to the Bucks, and the Bucks are like, nah, he's been hurt. Give us Monte Ellis instead.
Yeah. I think a few people reported that at the time. This was, what, 2013 that this happened? 2012, I want to say. 2013. Yeah. And the Monte Ellis thing obviously never worked out either here. But I heard arguments on both sides where some people say that was a deal. Now, if he's Lazary's saying that worked, that was a deal, then you got to believe him. He's the owner.
I don't know, though. He wasn't here during that time.
Yeah.
So he could just say that as revisionist history. People that I've talked to with the Warriors outside of my brother say that, no, they were never going to trade Steph. That was never going to happen. But is that just saving face?
Who knows?
You know, you have this guy that has saved your franchise.
Yeah.
And you were going to trade him. So are you just saving face? Are the Bucks just trying to save face in that situation too? So I find it interesting when that comes up because I don't know the truth. I keep hearing the opposite side say what's true.
I mean, the Bucks during that stretch there, they made some bad moves. Bad moves at the trading deadline. Trading Tobias Harris, a bad move, and a few others too. So who really knows? But I mean, I've heard it where, you know, like your brother would say that never happened, and then I've heard stuff like Lazary saying it was close to happening, and they were worried about Steph's ankles.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't know what to believe.
He said they fired the training staff.
His quote was, "I think we got rid of that medical staff when we bought the team
because they misjudged."
That's the
Curry.
First thing.
Yeah.
You get rid of. But a good article. We'll make sure that's posted. If you have a subscription to The Athletic, you'll be able to check that out. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bucks win 124-86. More on this team and what you're looking for with this team, because it's going to be a lot of nights like this where they just roll over teams. So what are we watching for? We'll pick your guys' brain around 7 o'clock. We're going to speak with Aaron Nagler coming up about the Packers coaching search, what we know about Nathaniel Hackett. Got some good information yesterday. We'll continue to try to figure out just exactly who this offensive coordinator is that's coming aboard. We'll do that coming up. I did mention Perkins, where the Bart's Breakfast Bonanza is here in a few days. So on Monday, you'll be able to go to any Perkins in the Milwaukee area and order Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. We're waiting until Monday because we don't know what it's going to be yet. There's three different options that you can vote for on the Fan Twitter account at 105.7 FM The Fan. You can vote for the 3 eggs, 4 pancakes, 4 bacon, and the hash browns. That's what we've done for the breakfast special in the past. You can vote for the 2 sausage biscuits, country style gravy and cheese, eggs, bacon, and hash browns. Or you can vote for the fried chicken filet, cheese biscuits, country style gravy, eggs, and bacon, and hash browns. One of those will be Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. We put the poll up just a few minutes ago. It's pretty tight already, the voting on this. So you'll have until Saturday at 10 to vote. If you want to make fake Twitter accounts to push one, if you're that passionate about this, please do so.
Shuck Freeman?
Shuck
Freeman. No, that's not mine.
Shuck Freeman, I'm sure, will vote.
That is not mine. Hey, he even donated some money to the toy drive the past couple of years.
He did.
I'm Chuck Freeman.
Shuck Freeman. So you can check that out on our Twitter page, at 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins here on The Fan. Turn it up. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Going to try to figure out everything we need to know regarding these coordinators and then who the special teams coach might be and these linebacker coaches, Chuck.
You know, the main thing is the Packers have their two coordinators locked up. I think that's the big deal. But even though the offense is, even though they hired this Hackett guy, it's all predicated on the blame, the fault and the blame, if there is any, it's going to fall on LaFleur anyway offensively, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. There's no doubt. And I think Hackett's going to enjoy that aspect of it because he was very much made the scapegoat down in Jacksonville this year. I mean, he got water out of wine last year when it came to that offense and being, you know, made to stick with Blake Bortles. He got more out of Blake Bortles than I think anybody thought humanly possible. To now come to Green Bay, not have to call the plays, and get to work with Aaron Rodgers, yeah, that's a big bump up for him. So I think it's a good fit. Hackett's a well-respected coach around the league. And like you say, LaFleur, it's going to be his offense. So I think Hackett is a veteran presence, so to speak, for the new young head coach to lean on.
I think what we're learning about some of these hires, or at least what we're trying to learn, is that, you know, these are guys that could get more out of Rodgers, that could challenge Rodgers in ways where he hasn't been challenged before. And ultimately, I think that's what a lot of people wanted. Aaron Rodgers seems to be wanting more of a challenge. Do you buy into that he's going to let these guys come in with a clean slate, listen to whatever they say, or is there going to be, do you think, some maybe hesitation to buy all in?
No, I mean, I take him at his word when he says he wants to be coached. He welcomes hard coaching, I think is the phrase he used a couple years ago with Peter King. I do think the biggest thing for him, for the offense, for the entire organization, is just a new message and new voices. You know, I think there's no doubt that after 13 years, things have gotten stale with McCarthy. I think everybody acknowledges that, including Mike. And I think Aaron will be happy to hear new things, new ideas. Like you say, be challenged a little bit. Hackett is a very energetic guy. And he will undoubtedly come at Aaron with a lot of energy. And I think, yeah, I think that will be welcomed by the quarterback. And it'll be interesting to see how, you know, in what ways they try to challenge him, in what ways they try to make him stretch a little bit, get him outside his comfort zone, especially early on in their tenure.
What would you think that might be? I mean, we're just speculating there, but what ways do you think they could do to get him out of his comfort zone?
Well, I think it's funny, just drilling simple things like, reading high to low, hitting your check down, things that, you know, really basic, back to basic type of stuff that not necessarily that they're saying you have to do this in a game, but just drilling real basic stuff that probably Aaron hasn't, you know, I know there Mike did his quarterback school, et cetera, for a number of years, and Aaron has done everything under the sun when it comes to playing the position of quarterback. But just getting him back to basics and making him kind of, it's hard to say, but like get back to all the things that built him into a two-time Super Bowl MVP that maybe, just maybe, he's gotten a little bit away from. You know, he's Aaron Rodgers. He's been expected to just walk on water for so many years, and we saw how things kind of fell apart when he wasn't able to this past season. So maybe get him back to fundamentals, get him back to the basics, and drill that back into him. And I think, like you know, we were indicating earlier, maybe he would initially be a little resistant to that, but I think ultimately that's what's going to kind of help rebuild his game. We saw Mike McCarthy do it with Brett Favre, and I think the whole back-to-basics approach will probably help Aaron Rodgers as well.
Did you hear this news about Mike McCarthy in New York that apparently they liked him and all that, but there was a difference on maybe selection of coaching staff members? Hear anything about that at all and what that was all about?
Yeah, I mean, that's been making the rounds for a number of candidates, and I know Christopher Johnson, the acting head of the Jets, yesterday when they were introducing Adam Gase, categorically denied that. Of course, you would expect him to, but I wouldn't be surprised if, A, that did happen, if they came in and said, we want to kind of, you know, have a voice, so to speak, in selecting your staff, and it wouldn't surprise me at all for Mike to tell them to shove it. I mean, can you imagine, Mike, you know, you're going to hire Mike McCarthy, and then you're going to tell him who he has to have on his staff? Mm-hmm. That would kind of blow my mind. So I don't doubt that it happened, and I don't doubt Mike told him to shut.
You know, Aaron's in New York, so maybe you're the one that Adam Gase was trying to look at during this press conference. don't know what's going on there, but it, you know, he's introduced with New York, and Cliff Kingsbury introduced last couple of days with Arizona. I get what outside of LaFleur and the Packers, let's take him out of it. Which team do you think should be the most excited about their new head coach?
Well, that's a really good question. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. I know Arizona is all pumped up for Kingsbury.
That seems like it's going to be the one that has.
I mean, that's going to work out. And he doesn't have a real NFL kind of pedigree. So you're other than his playing days. So you're not really sure what you're getting there. You know, I think there's a lot of mystery there. And I know no one in New York is excited about Gase. I can tell you that. the Jets fans that I've spoken to and seen online, they are not happy to have a recycled Dolphins coach. But you know, like we said earlier, nobody knows. I just don't think anybody has even an inkling. Remember a couple years ago when another round of hirings, and you know, Doug Peterson was absolutely panned by everybody, and he became not only the best coach of that group, but now is the only one who's employed from that group. So you never know. Sitting here, just at first blush, when these guys are hired, nobody has a clue.
Weird, because if you know the Jets weren't happy that Adam Gase was hired there, but if the Packers hired Gase, I think Packer fan would be on board of it more so than LaFleur getting him as the head coach.
Yeah, maybe. I think it depends on which subset of Packer fans you're talking to, but I think the reaction to LaFleur has been pretty positive. I'm actually kind of expected a little bit more blowback, but for the most part, I think you know most fans I've talked to are pretty excited about the hire. You know, I think everybody is just kind of interested in something new. You know, 15 years with one guy, the NFL, that's an eternity. And to have a new voice and a new face for the organization, it's just kind of exciting, you know.
How do you feel about the games this weekend? We were talking earlier in the week about the Patriots, and, you know, the reason they've been able to go to 8 straight conference championships is because they always host this divisional round game at home, and the reason they're able to do that is because they always win the AFC East, and the reason they're able to do that is what you just saw again. Just the teams in the East recycling everybody else's retreads and not making any progress. So the Patriots, in a league that's structured for this not to happen, have had this free pass to the divisional round and ultimately the championship. They're going to go to Kansas City. It's going to be cold. You've got the Saints and Rams this weekend in a rematch. Are you leaning either way on either of these games right now?
Yeah, I got to take the Saints at home just because they're at home. And I got to take the Chiefs also probably because they're at home. I mean, you look at the Patriots, 8 straight conference championships. That's just insanity. In that stretch, they are much more vulnerable on the road than they are at home. It's supposed to be bitterly cold. So maybe that helps slow down the Chiefs a little bit on offense, but ultimately, I think the Chiefs' offense is going to be a bit too much for the Patriots' defense. And I don't say that as a slight, because I think Bill Belichick is the greatest modern coach we're ever going to see. And I think he'll undoubtedly have some things to try and kind of slow them down the second time around. But, I just can't see Kansas City losing in that building Sunday.
That's Aaron Nagler. You can find his work at cheeseheadtv.com. He's on Twitter at Aaron Nagler. Always good to chat with him. We'll talk to Michael Cohen at 8:20. Some more on this Nathaniel Hackett hire. Nathaniel Hackett was a coach at Syracuse when Michael was in school there, so he's already familiar with the kind of guy he is, the mad scientist he's known as. Michael recently writing an article on that. We'll talk to him at 8:20. Charlie Casserly, NFL Network, will join us at 9:30, who had a hand in this Packers coaching search. So we'll do some football throughout the show here coming up. Baseball next, as you may not be on board with Yasmani Grandal, which would put you at odds with your manager, Craig Counsell. We'll hear what he, David Stearns, and Grandal had to say yesterday when Grandal was introduced to Brewers fans. It's Chuck and Winkler here, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
David had talked about it, but he always downplayed it pretty heavily so that I wouldn't bug him about it every day. I do remember we had a conversation earlier in the week, and then he texted me what one night and said it was going to happen, and I think I had just a one word wow. My response in a text was just a one word wow,
That's Brewers skipper Craig Counsell, Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. They were asked questions yesterday at the press conference to introduce Yasmani Grandal. You can ask us questions today, by the way. Ask Chuck and Winkler anything 2 hours from now. Whatever questions you have for Chuck or myself, whatever, sports, whatever, music, women, whatever, the Gillette commercial, anything you can ask us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Use the hashtag AskCW. One person at random will score themselves $20 to Perkins.
All right, here's what I got to do about Yasmani Grandal. Here's what I need to do, Bart. I'm serious about this. I need to get by that NLCS, because if I keep, and we keep referencing, boy, he played so bad against the Brewers, he got pulled. I mean, that's going to get old, all right? If the Brewers are on board with this, and, you know, again, I don't think the guy, from what I've seen of him, is worth, you know, $16, $18 million, but he's an upgrade at the catcher's spot, all right? And I'm not a big fan. I'm not a huge fan of the move, but I do agree it's an upgrade, and the way the Brewers are talking about it right now, if they're on board with it, I got to keep justifying it by saying, or, you know, putting it in a category where, hey, you know what? He played so poorly against the Brewers, and, you know, he's been so bad in the postseason the last couple of years, because that's, again, that's going to get old. I'm going to give him a chance. No, I'm going to give him a chance. I'm really serious about this here, because, no, just I can't hammer that forever, because I'm going to go crazy if I do that. People are going to go crazy. They're going to get tired of hearing that. So, yes, Grandal. For the final time?
So you're on board-ish? Well,
I'm going to be on board with it. Yes, I am.
You're making yourself be on board.
Well,
there's no other option.
Yeah, I thought that was a little expensive for a guy who's a 245, you know, 26 home run guy, 24, but I get it at Miller Park. And, you know, Stearns has been so good with his moves. He's not going to hit on every move. But I'm going to be good with this. I'm going to be fine. Initially, it was sticker shock. But I'm getting over it a little bit.
It's the stats that aren't as maybe easy to digest where this move is so good and why people around baseball look at this and say, wow, the Brewers have done it again. They're the only ones in this weird landscape where the top stars want 10 years, $300 million, mm-hmm. and it's hard to bring guys in. The Brewers got this guy who was, he could have had a 4-year deal with the Mets. He rejected his qualifying offer with the Dodgers. They got him for just a little more than that was going to cost the Dodgers.
Did he reject it, or did the Dodgers say no?
I think he did, because he wanted a longer deal.
Okay.
But then he rejected the Mets. But it's his defense, in the defensive metrics, and I'm pulling up on my computer categories that I don't even know what I'm reading. But he's second in that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else? He's second in all of baseball regular season, in isolated power and walk rates. He's first in defensive metrics. He's first in weighted runs created. And he's first in all these categories that, even though the Brewers scoreboard shows you a lot of things, you still got to look up. How does that one work?
Boy, when he was coming to the plate last fall, I was thinking, oh, great. Guy's a base. God, thank goodness this guy's coming to the plate. So I'm going to get by all that. Let him have a full chance here and see how it works.
This is like, I understand it's a good signing. I'm having a hard time explaining why it's a good signing, because I'm not, it's not that, I just don't understand a lot of these metrics.
No.
I can't look at a lot of these baseball metrics right now and look at them the way that you can look at the back of a baseball card, where it's very easy to digest.
Or the eye test.
Yeah, or the eye test. And I sort of understand them, but every time I see like WRC or F-War or any, I got to look it up. I got to look up what that means again.
But I mean, if you got to look it up, okay, and we all do. I mean, I go cross-eyed when I hear
some people that don't.
Well, but okay, but I think that's not a majority of the fans.
Yeah,
though.
I got to think they're in the minority.
Yeah. But I think majority of the fans out there look at the eye test, see what kind of player he is, judge him that way, and then, you know, look at the batting average, look at the home runs, RBIs. I'm not saying everybody does that, but I'm saying I think a good majority of people of 100% of the pie would say that's the route that they go. But I don't know. I think if he's going to be an upgrade. Now, I hear this, too. I saw last night where the Brewers are still trying to get Wade Miley here, which I like. But they'd have to trim some payroll and possibly have to deal somebody like an Eric Thames.
Yeah, the report came from Ken Rosenthal, also of The Athletic. He said, clearing salary for a free agent such as Miley could be the next step. They are on track to carry the highest payroll in club history after the Grandal deal. Their previous high was $104 million in 2015. Right now they have $110 million committed to 20 guys.
Mm-hmm.
So they could look at Miley by trading Eric Thames, who's owed $6 million next season, plus a buyout. Matt Albers, who will earn $2.5 million, could create some flexibility. Miley last year with a 2.57 ERA in 80 and two-thirds regular season innings for the Crew. And you want to talk about in the postseason, he was a 1.23 ERA in 14 and two-thirds innings. Kind of surprised that he hasn't been signed yet either, but a lot of these guys in baseball aren't signed. It's just a very weird market, so the Brewers have to adapt, and they seem to be the one team able to figure out how to adapt.
Yeah, although this starting rotation going forward, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I just, I think you can't go the route of having these guys pitch four innings and then let the bullpen take over for 162 games. You can't do that. I think you can do that for September and the postseason. But I mean, eventually, that's going to tax you a little bit. But Wade Miley's the one guy who they were confident in the postseason. He went out there and gave them good innings as a starter. They weren't worried about pulling him after a couple of innings. He pitched well. For the most part. Down a stretch, too. So having him back, I don't know whose spot in the rotation he would take, but if they get him back, it sounds like this is back when I was telling you yesterday about a budget. You know, I mean, they're just not going to start piling guys on like the Yankees used to do with Steinbrenner. They're going to make sure the guy fits in, and again, it may be trading Eric Thames for a low-level minor league guy.
Right, they're not going to, you know, spend $200 million.
No.
But Atanasio told Stearns, do what you can do to make us competitive.
Sure. And he has, man. He has. By upgrading the catcher spot, it does. Yeah, it's definitely an upgrade over what they had.
So how about this? We can worry about Grandal again and his playoffs when the Brewers get back to the playoffs, which they have a better chance of now because of how good Grandal is in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So look at this as a regular season move. And then if he sucks in the playoffs and we got to bench him there. I'm at the point I just want to get back to the playoffs. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, I just want to be in the pennant race again this year.
Yeah.
First things first, I want to be in the pennant race in April like the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's going to be hard, and they think Grandal will help, and that's why he is here wearing number 10 with the Crew. Pitchers and catchers report in just a few weeks' time. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk plenty of Brewers in the coming weeks, the Packers, the draft. There's a lot to talk about between now and the NBA playoffs. But with the Bucks, it seems like it's going to be the same thing every night. Bucks dominant. Bucks win. Bucks dominant. And that's a good thing. But what's the number one thing you're looking at when talking about this team going forward? We'll talk to you guys next, plus your chance at $1,000. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.